It was a long 14 months before Captain L. Bachman could drum up the courage to sit down at a typewriter and start a letter to his buddy's widow. When World War II started, Bachman and Lieutenant Henry Hubbard were cadets together. Both were stationed at some of the same posts together, and both were quickly dispatched to Alaska when the Japanese bombed Dutch Harbor in June of 1942. As crew members for a quickly cobbled-together squadron of B-24 bombers stationed at Umak, they were to be the first line of defense for an expected invasion force advancing along the Aleutian Islands to the Alaska mainland. A week after Dutch Harbor and what was to be the first counterattack against the Japanese in the Aleutians, five of the twin-tailed B-24 bombers headed west to Kiska. Their target was the Japanese Northern Fleet, as many as 20 vessels anchored in Kiska Harbor. Hubbard was navigator in the lead aircraft, Bachman in an adjacent aircraft. The formation looped around the island and began their bombing run from the south. But anti-aircraft guns immediately opened up on them. Hubbard and the rest of his crewmates likely died instantly as the aircraft exploded midair and crashed on a mountainside. 14 months later, Bachman finally tells Esther Hubbard how Henry died and recalls how the two men spent their last moments together in this excerpt read by Gladys Culp of the state's historical collections.
He said that he had a feeling he would not return from the flight. I tried to convince him that he would, but he said that there was a good chance that he wouldn't. He wrote your address in my little address book so that I could write to you if he didn't come back. He also took my parents' address as he planned to write them if he should return and I should fail to do so. He gave me your address so that you would know that he was thinking of you before he took off on this last mission. If I had written the letter as he directed, I could have said that he sends his love to you and the baby. As I have waited so long, I will say that he sent his love to you and the baby.
This descriptive and poignant letter is just one of hundreds of Hubbard's personal effects that were recently put up for sale on the internet auction site eBay. Logbooks, navigational charts, military orders and identification, a uniform, insignia, citations and medals, dozens of telegrams and letters written by Hubbard to his new wife, including one in which he says that all he does is eat, sleep, and fly, mostly fly, and he doesn't feel natural unless in an airplane with that constant roar of the motor. Also in the collection, pictures of the couple and their new baby, Gale, born just a few months before he was sent to Alaska. In all, a literal treasure trove of artifacts from a participant in the Aleutian campaign. A friend alerted Alaskan aviation historian Ted Spencer to the potential sale. Spencer says he immediately recognized their value.
It's quite a deal. Usually you don't get this much material. These stories are fragmented. The death is ambiguous because nobody recorded it. And you don't get this profuse cornucopia of documents.
The letters, pictures, and artifacts tell the story of one man's life, from his childhood in Abilene, Texas, to entering the service, a cocky young flyer during wartime, meeting young Esther in Alabama, courtship and marriage, with her following him to various postings from base to base, and then fatherhood and his final flight. It also puts a face to one of the very first casualties of the Aleutian campaign. A film made by the Japanese at Kiska and widely circulated after the war shows Hubbard's B-24 being hit by anti-aircraft fire, exploding with pieces raining down on the island. A portion of the destroyed aircraft is still visible on one of the hillsides today.
And it's an unusual situation where you have the actual demise of somebody so well documented and against the context of the history. So it's always really stood out in my mind as one of the benchmark events of the history.
Spencer contacted the seller and convinced her to rescind the auction. She later agreed to donate the items to the Alaska State Museum and the state's historical collections in exchange for $1,000 raised by the nonprofit support group Friends of the Alaska State Museum.
It just takes one person to make the decision that things are going in the dumpster and it's just gone. You know, there's no getting it back. And so I feel that Alaska is very fortunate in this instance to actually save something of this caliber intact. It was it was within days of being scattered throughout the world.
In this case, sharp eyes and quick intervention may have saved some significant artifacts from possible neglect, disappearance, or perhaps even being broken up and resold. It's not always the case. The increasing availability of the Internet has helped turn eBay into a virtual worldwide garage sale.
eBay has been a blessing and a curse.
Harry Klinkhammer of the American Association for State and Local History says it's changed the way that museums and libraries acquire items for their collections.
Artifacts that may have in the past been donated to museums, people now feel that there's a value tied to it. They'd much rather sell the item than donate it. But on the other hand, it also has meant that things that have been sitting in people's attics for years and years and may never have seen the light of day and maybe eventually been trashed are now going out onto eBay to be sold, which means that when you have either museum staff or volunteers for a museum out there doing a search, they may find something, you know, half a world away or half a country away that relates to their region.
Like with any purchases, it's buyer beware. Klinkhammer says museums and libraries still run the risk of purchasing items that may not be authentic or obtained illegally. Prices may also be artificially pushed higher before the item is quickly sold.
And that's where sometimes having private volunteers for an organization can help. Because if you have a couple of well-off volunteers who are willing to take the time and have the money to go out onto eBay and find certain items and go ahead and bid on them for the museum, that can turn out to be a victory for the museum.
Increasingly, Internet auction sales are also useful for researching the history of objects or assessing the value for insurance purposes. Glady Culp, acting head of Alaska's State Historical Collections, says it's knowledgeable volunteers and patrons who have become their eyes and ears, sometimes tipping them off to promising finds on the Internet. Culp says most of the value in Hubbard's effects lie in the deeply intimate connection to the battle.
This particular collection personalizes this Aleutian campaign in Alaska, and it also personalizes war and makes us realize, you know, for history, what war does to individuals and to communities and to families.
In this case, the seller turned out to be Gail Reben of Houston, Texas, the very same baby Gail pictured in the arms of Esther and Henry Hubbard over 60 years ago. Reben says all the items were faithfully preserved by her mother following her husband's death, mementos of an all-too-brief marriage to her only real love.
She loved him so much. I mean, I have like 140 or 150 letters that they wrote between the fall of 1940 when they met and when he was killed in June of 42. And the love, you know, it was so strong.
After her mother passed away years ago, and with no younger relatives to pass the items on to, Reben decided to auction them off.
I just was thinking that they would go to a collector or a museum, and then about a day or two later, I found out that those collections were split up. Oh, my God, what have I done?
After finding out about the downed bomber and changing her mind about the sale, Reben immediately went out and retrieved two bags of trash that were waiting for pickup. Inside were more items and letters not included in the auction and hastily discarded, including the letter from Captain Bachman, a letter that almost disappeared forever. For Reben, it all combined to form a portrait of her father that she never had a chance to know.
I would start to go through, and these letters were so emotional, I would just start crying, and I'd have to put them down. And so, you know, I cried for a couple of weeks as I got everything organized. And then I got the email from Ted Spencer, and he showed me the photograph of the wreckage with the Japanese soldiers around it. And that just, you know, I started crying again. And then he told me he's got a video of the actual film footage that was shot by the Japanese that he got a hold of. So, I mean, I've already been through all the crying part, and now I'm just really looking forward to turning all this over and making sure that it gets to the right place.
Reben will get barely a third of the price that she could have gotten at auction, but the collection will be available for research and remain intact and preserved. She arrives in Juneau today to meet with state museum and library officials, bringing with her her father's belongings back to Alaska, near where he died in the Forgotten War over 60 years ago. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.